Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm hot.
Hot Bell.
I'm so hot.
You are hot. But I mean, temperature-wise, you're going through some things?
Yeah. My air conditioning has been acting weird since Sunday, and it just won't cool the house. And I don't know what's wrong, and I haven't slept in like 3 days, and I'm having like weird fever dreams because of it.
Yeah. Can we talk about the fever dreams? Like, and I know people are thinking like, oh, good, air conditioning repair and what you dreamed about. This is quality podcasting. No. It's relevant.
It is. It is. I think you guys will like this. So I had a dream. I think it was Sunday night going into Monday or Monday night going into Tuesday. I don't remember. Everything has melted together the last couple of days because my brain is literally cooking. So I had this dream where our editor, Mike, in the 70s, in the 1970s, wrote, directed, produced, filmed a movie called Batman Witch, like Batman colon Witch,
right.
Like
of the Blair like, variety. Or, well,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was over at his place and he was telling me about it and how, like, you know, I did this whole thing, made this whole movie, and like I go to try and get it distributed and Warner Brothers was like, "No, you can't, no, that's our property. Like no, we're not going to distribute this. It's like you didn't get permission from us. You can't, no, it's not going to work." And so he was like, "Yeah, it kind of sucks they never distributed it, but, you know, I have it on VHS." So I was like, okay, let's watch it. And so we watched it, and I don't remember anything from it. I remember watching like one particular scene, and that scene had nothing to do with Batman or witches. So I don't know what the movie was about. However, I have an idea for a Batman colon witch movie. Now I'm gonna have to make it work somehow.
Yeah. Well, see, what you have to do is you have to legally differentiate. That's what editor Mike in your dream did not. He failed to do. He failed to legally differentiate. But we here at Flash TV Talk, we know all about stealing. I mean, legally differentiating. So.
Oh yeah. We are good at that.
Yes, we know how to do that. Anyway, all right, guys, we got a great show for y'all because we got a fun episode to talk about. Lots going on. Oh man, I can't wait to dive into it. Is there anything else that I wanted to make mention of? I don't think so, other than of course we can't do this without your support over at patreon.com/tvtalk. Thanks to all the amazing patrons there. Go there to help support the show and make it happen. And speaking of making it happen, Bell, you ready to make it happen?
Let's do it.
All right, let's jump into the rundown. Episode 16 of Season 7, Heart of the Matter, Part 1. Directed by Eric Dean Seton and story by
Eric Wallace and Lauren Barnett.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Barry allows Bart and Nora to stay in the past. They join him in fighting off a squad of Godspeed drones, but all the drones target Bart. Later, Bart explains that he considers Godspeed his thon, since he witnessed Godspeed murdering Jay Garrick, who has always encouraged Bart's impulsive attitude. Yeah. While Barry attempts to contact Wally West for help, Iris returns. After several losses against the drone, Barry and Iris decide to bench Nora and Bart. However, the rebel drones capture Jay Garrick, who has regained his speed after the rebirth of the Speed Force, and demand Bart in exchange for his life. Bart leaves to fight them, but he is knocked out and nearly killed by the drones. Barry and Nora rescue Jay and Bart while Sisko arrives and traps the drones. Meanwhile, Chester asks Allegra for help charging a device to remove the drone's speed and consoles Allegra when he learns about Esperanza's death. As Joe and Kramer return from assisting the FBI with the other Kramer's investigation, they witness many of Central City's citizens flee to escape the Godspeed War. Afterwards, Barry suggests that they get into August's mind to try to get the answers they need to stop the drones. Once Cecile helps Barry enter Hart's mind, he encounters the real August. Turns out he's been waiting for him, and he says he has all the answers, menacing that it will be so much fun.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was the most dun, dun, dun worthy one
I tell
had
you, man,
in a while.
This episode right here. Let me just lay it out for you, okay? We got Flash family in full. We got the kids. We got Nora, basically our Nora, but not our Nora. We got confirmation on that. We got Bart freaking Allen, somebody that we've wanted to see since the beginning of this show. We got the return of Jay Garrick, OG himself, coming onto the stage here. We got the Godspeed War cranking up. We've got the actual Godspeed in full Godspeed force with a full Godspeed story and a full Godspeed actor who's playing the Godspeed Prime. We've got murder. We've got love. We've got family drama. We've got all of these things going on. And every single moment that I am watching this show, this episode, this one right here, Bell, all I can think about is, man, I wonder what's going on with Joe and Kramer.
Dude, you're telling me. I was like, the whole time, I'm like, can we get back to Kramer versus Kramer? I'm tired of the speedster garbage. Like, I want Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, where's the Kramer versus Kramer? Like, what's with all these speedsters running around? We were promised Kramer versus Kramer all back half of this season, and I mean, okay.
I mean, like, it's just so disappointing. This episode was so disappointing. I wanted Kramer versus Kramer,
yes.
And all I got was Godspeed and Speedsters and Flash Family and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, obviously, I'm being sarcastic. It was amazing.
It was amazing, but I do have to, I mean, like, I want to go ahead and acknowledge this so that we don't have to talk about it for the rest of the episode. Joe and Kramer, side quest, maybe coming to an end, it looks like. So good on that, but every single time we cut back, it was even more worse than last episode, because the war is ramping up. The kids are in town. You know, there's a lot going on. And then we cut to the side quest, and Joe's like, I can't even call into Central City. It's like, Joe, maybe just, you're not here. You should be here, and you're not here. We can catch up with you later. We got some stuff going on in Central City. It was such a, fortunately, I mean, it didn't take up too much time, but yeah.
I am kind of interested in it. Like, I want to see the actual Kramer versus Kramer, where she, like, fights an army of clones of herself, because I feel like that's where they're, maybe not an army of clones, but, like, there's cloning or something going on. Like, there has to be.
Sure.
And I want to see that, but, like, everything else, like, you could just, you know, resolve Godspeed War, cut to them fighting the thing, and then, like, cut back to Team Flash with them coming back saying, yeah, we had some fun. Joe and Kramer, they show the thing, and then, like, you know, one of them, Joe or Kramer, says the line, it's Kramer versus Kramer in here or something like that, and then they just come back and recap it for us. Like, I just want to see it's Kramer versus Kramer up in here or something like that. Or Cisco, or, you know, P-Funk.
Oh, Cisco coming back. I meant to add that into my whole epic everything awesome episode. Like,
yeah. I mean, the only one who didn't come back was Wally, which would have been amazing. That would have been super good.
That was this would be the one.
I almost wish they hadn't my mentioned guess him, is, because when they mentioned Wally, oh yeah, he's meditating in the Speed Force, can't come out, I was like, just don't even.
No, they have to mention, I guess, Wally. They're like, there's no way, because this is part of what we've been waiting for, right? Like, the entirety we have wanted a Bart Wally Barry team up, and I think what we're going to get, obviously, is what we're going to get, right? We're going to get a kind of Nora filling in for Wally. I kind of hope that we see a situation where maybe Iris does kind of become a speedster temporarily here to help fight Godspeed. And maybe if that's the case, Nora gives her costume, and then Nora actually becomes the new Kid Flash. So we do have kind of a Kid Flash, a Impulse, a, you know, Jay Garrick, a Barry Allen kind of going up against, you know, a speedster villain, Godspeed here in this case. Altogether, I would have no problem with Nora becoming kind of the spiritual successor of. I mean, I would argue she already is kind of the spiritual successor of Kid Flash. Why not give her the mantle? We know that it goes to kind of the sidekick esque role. And while she is certainly her own hero in the form of XS, you know, I think there's something even more powerful in, you know, if she does become a Kid Flash, even for an episode.
Yeah, like, her suit gets damaged or something, and they're like, "Hey, we got this leftover one," and it's like some material that, you know. Because obviously Wally's suit's not going to
fit. Well, no, it's not going to fit. But I mean, like, we got Cisco. What do you think Cisco's doing?
Cisco's making a nanotech. Yeah, he's like, look, I just got this nanotech suit. And, like, we're just going to bam. And, like, Kid Flash, there you go.
Yeah.
Because she's literally the Flash's kid. So, like, I mean.
thank you, Bell. Thank you. That is exactly my point.
Yeah. It works.
So it works perfectly. So I would love to see that. I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I think it would be amazing if it does. Okay, Nora, let's. This was the big speculation last week, trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Which Nora is this? I am so glad we got confirmation. We got confirmations this episode. Like
I told you.
We got clarity. We don't often get clarity these days. That was really good.
I mean, I knew. Come on. Like, that was the only logical explanation.
All right. Now, this is fair, but I'm just glad that they actually acknowledged it. And, you know, it makes sense. You know,
they could not acknowledge it, right? Like, that would have just. That would have been the weirdest thing, just to not even mention old Nora.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you think about the way, and I mean, you know, I don't want to rag on the show right now when it's like giving us some quality beef cuts here, but I'm just saying that, like, historically speaking, they haven't always been good when it comes to what they've said about time travel and the rules surrounding time travel, and they kind of change it from time to time when the story they feel like needs it, when I would argue doesn't need it, but regardless, so this one could potentially fall into that category, but thankfully that didn't happen. So regardless, we do get the confirmation she, you know, she's not, you know, the Nora that we saw before, that she is, in fact, you know, kind of this new timeline's Nora. We can already see immediately the difference in the two. This is obviously a Nora that grew up with a relationship with her mom and dad. She is much, you know, Nora was always very upbeat, but there was always kind of an upbeatness to Nora that was covering up a lot of trauma. This one definitely seems a lot more well-adjusted, let's say, in terms of her relationship with her parents. And then also as kind of a, you know, as a big sister and, you know, just in life, she's killing it, man.
Yeah, you're right. Like she felt the same, but she felt different. And, you know, I think that's really interesting how, you know, the same actress can play the same character differently.
Yeah, I mean, well, hey, look, if Tom Cavanagh can do it, I mean, don't get me wrong, Tom Cavanagh is a great actor, but this show is certainly known for threading that needle in terms of presenting us with, hey, remember this actor? Now there's somebody different, but kind of the same, but totally different. Just ask Nora, as well as now Nora, and as well as Harrison Wells, and actually Barry Allen, and Jay Garrick, and Henry Allen. So yeah, like everybody's been multiple people on this show. It's a rite of passage, really, the fact that she's playing a different version of herself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so we do get, of course, Nora being back on the scene. We get instantly the brother-sister dynamic between her and baby brother Bart. Man, Bart Allen. Okay, this kid is nailing it, I think.
Dude, he stole the show. Like, we fell in love with Nora, and I think Bart, like, stole the show from her, like, just hands down in just this one episode. I don't know, like I think it's, you know, team Bart all the way. Not saying like let's erase Nora from existence or anything, but like,
no, it's not a competition. They could both be great. I mean, right, I think, but
Jordan Fisher just nailed it.
He did,
nailed it 100%.
He did a fantastic job. I mean, I think one of the things that I was, you know, a little like, well, let me just put it this way. Props, and I've said this already, but props on the team, for the costume team, for going comic accurate and attempting comic accurate with Impulse. Impulse's like costume is something that barely looks good in comic book form, and let's just say it's not the most flattering of superhero garb out there. So if you're going to be showing up as Impulse, you got to have the confidence to pull that ridiculous costume off, and this kid nails it, man. He commits hardcore. Like, and that's something that I really love about both these kids. And I'm referring to the characters, but also just the actor and the actress. Like, they come in with a high energy and a commitment that some of our more weathered cast like is not necessarily showing up with. And so it's nice because you do have that battle hardness that comes out in the performance, and I think does speak to where this team, the team of characters are right now. And it does kind of add to that instant energy of like, okay, yeah, no, the kids, you know, the kids are back in town. We're going to war. You know, the energy is there, and I'm here for it. So yeah, love this Bart Allen, love this, you know, he nailed that kind of impulsivity that you would expect from Impulse, with just that high energy, that high confidence, you know, ready to dive in and bump his head along the way and get back up and dive right back on in again and bump his head along the way and then dive back in again. That's Impulse, man. I thought he did great.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. I just wonderful for the role. I think he did an excellent job, and I'm super excited to see some more.
Oh yeah, big time. Okay, so that's the thing, right? We've been saying, you know, we were looking at some point, we know that Bart's going to show up, and one of the things that we have been hoping for is a massive, you know, Flash family speedster, you know, team up of some sort. And that cannot happen without Jay Garrick. A now Earth Prime, Earth Prime native, now Earth Prime native looking like Henry Allen, Jay Garrick.
Wait, hold on, sidebar. So he is Earth Prime, right? Like, for some reason, I could have sworn
it said Keystone, but I don't think it said a different Earth.
Oh, it said Keystone. Okay.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
I was trying to think of what the Nora, like his, you know, his wife was saying, She said Central City. She didn't say Earth One.
No, she said Central City. The other thing, too, is I think at this stage in the game, we are operating under the understanding that there is only one Earth. Now, we know as an audience that there are multiple Earths, but our characters no longer know that.
Yeah, so, okay. I'm just making sure that I wasn't, like, hearing, or that I was hearing stuff, because that, like, for a second there, I was like, wait, hold on, what? And, yeah, okay, so that, yeah. I was very confused for a second. I was like, did she say that the Flash of Earth Prime? No, she said the Flash of Central City, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I was just, you know, used to there being multiple Earths, and then like my brain just supplanted that and like added it in itself. but yeah, okay, cool. And yes, yeah, so we have one Earth, multiple Flashes, kind of, you know, yeah. But
well, we have this kind of merged history between, you know, all of these different, you know, characters and heroes and such, and it makes sense. Like, this makes sense that we would be here at this stage in the game.
Yes.
Now, I get that, like, there's probably a lot of questions people have in terms of, like, well, wasn't the whole concept behind his doppelganger that it's literally his dad from the other Earth? And does this mean that they're actually physically related? Is it more of, like, Uncle Jay is actually supposed to be Barry Allen's uncle? Here's the way that I'm pretty sure, you know, we're supposed to kind of look at this. Don't think about it.
Yeah, no, sure, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, and that's not a dig on the show at all. That's literally Crisis. Don't think about it. That's how post Crisis mechanics work. It's not supposed to make sense.
Yeah,
it's Crisis.
I referenced the meme from the D&D cartoon in the 70s where, like, the wizard makes like a rainbow in his hand, and the caption is, "It's magic. I ain't got to explain expletive." Yeah. So it's Crisis. I ain't got to explain anything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's essentially accurate. So, you know, don't think about it. Let's just all have a good time. And I know you're probably thinking, like, oh, Bo, you complain about the consistency of yada, yada, yada all the time. I'm like, yeah, very fair. But the difference is the source material stinks at this as well.
Yeah.
Book accurate for it to not make sense.
Yeah, I had one OMG Science complaint that was inconsistent.
Oh, here it comes.
Well, I mean, they kind of fixed it. Like, you know, Chester was saying that it needed to be charged with electromagnetic energy, and so they're going to use Allegra because she emits electromagnetic energy. And then Barry's like, it can be charged with anything, right? Like kinetic energy. And he's like, sure. And so they charge it, and like, of course, it doesn't work. It'd be one thing if it was like it can be charged with various things on the electromagnetic spectrum, but kinetic energy is not on the electromagnetic spectrum. So like I don't know. That was just weird. And then they're talking about like nanometers of energy. And he's like, we needed, you know, 5 nanometers, but you provided 5 billion times that amount. So 5 meters. So that's like a radio wave. And I was just like, no.
That is that not how this works?
That's not how any of this works.
Oh, okay. See, I was unawares. I thought that was,
I mean, it just pulled me out for like 2 seconds where I was like, wait, hold on. And then, you know, they should have at least been in there. It's like, well, it's designed to take electromagnetic energy, but it can use kinetic as well. And then they go, oh, no, we use kinetic, and that gave them more power because we need to use this, and like throw out the line about 5 billion times more than a nanometer, because you just measure, you're multiplying a distance.
No, it's okay, man. It's okay. They're fighting speedsters from the future who are having some sort of like, and they're all clones, drones.
Drones. It's fine. Hey, we'll go with clone drones.
They're clone drones. Exactly. So yeah. That's just kind of where we're at right now. Just enjoy for what it is. I'm here for it, man. You know what? It's fine. It's fine. And also, it added to the storyline because, you know, it, not only did it end up supercharging Godspeed and kind of making them an even more formidable opponent for the moment, but it also kind of echoed what was really going on with Allegra. Now, I did see on our Discord some folks saying that, you know, they weren't really necessarily feeling the Allegra story. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I was actually sitting back thinking, like, has she not told everybody that her cousin died? And so I thought it was very interesting because that happened at Star, you know, and everybody kind of took it in stride. Chester was like, oh, I'm sorry about your cousin. And I'm like, dude, you just found out she died like in this building.
No, she didn't die in that building. She died fighting Black Hole somewhere else.
I thought they were in the building when it went down.
No. She, like, they weren't fighting Black Hole in Star Labs. Ultraviolet was fighting Black Hole remnants somewhere else.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's my bad, because I thought they were in Star Labs. All right. So let me walk that one back real quick. I mean, you know, you'd think that Chester, you know, he'd be a little bit more I just saw her and now she's dead. Like, we all had like kind of a moment and now she's dead. I guess she did try to kill Chester actually several times.
But it made sense to me because, you know, she feels really guilty about it. And like, I doubt she wants to, you know, oh, hey, Barry, by the way, you know, Ultraviolet's dead because I refuse to go help my own family members. And then meanwhile, like, Vin Diesel shows up and says, you know, nothing stronger than family, and kills her with a shotgun. That's like Arnold Diesel.
Vin Diesel is Arnold Diesel. We talk about that's high praise. I think you're right. I thought it was nice because we need to acknowledge what happened with her storyline.
Yeah,
and also, you know, she actually made a comment about, like, you know, essentially kind of being a glorified battery charger. And, you know, you do get in this episode, you know, Frost is on the scene. She saves Barry at one point, pretty epic. But it does kind of, like, while that's going down, yes, always great to see Frost in action. But we got kind of a Super Saiyan on the team. We kind of need to get her out of the lab. You know what I mean? Like, get her in the field.
I'm calling it.
What's up?
You know, they're going to try and charge the thing again. It's not going to work, but she's going to bring it out. Maybe with, like, the teleporter things she has or something.
Okay.
She's going to go Super Saiyan. She's going to charge it, and she's going to freeze them or take their energy somehow.
Sure.
And that's going to, A, show everyone her Super Saiyan abilities and prove once and for all that she's not just a microwave. And also, it'll help save the day. It might not be the thing to save the day, because honestly, you want your main characters to, like, really save the day. But it will. It's either going to be like a B-team thing where, like, the Godspeed clones.
You may
clones...
want it, but that doesn't happen on this show, man.
Yeah. But, you know, it'll be one of those things where it's like, she'll probably save the B-team as the Godspeeds are attacking, because Barry is out of play right now, right? Because he's in Godspeed's mind. And so everyone else is going to be there, and, like, the kids are going to be fighting them, and, like, they're not going to, you know, be able to do it. The device is there in Central City. So this is my prediction here.
Okay.
They're going to come in. The Godspeed clones are going to come and try and, you know, take care of Bart. Allegra's going to step up and go Super Saiyan, show everybody on the team how powerful she really is, and, like, defeat the Godspeed clones to give Barry enough time to go in there and fight Godspeed Prime in August's brain. that's where I'm seeing it's going.
Okay, no, I could see that. I could definitely see that. But even then, it's like a supercharging type deal. I do hope that we see her more in the field and not just in a, you know, my cell phone died again. Allegra, don't have like a charge thing.
Well, I wonder if it's like a, you know, this is a really expensive visual effect.
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, like, you know, we don't get Frost in the field all that much. But I mean, like, you know, you were talking about kind of where is the value. And, you know, I still argue that, like, you know, having kind of those ranged blasters is actually a really good value when you are a speedster, which means that theoretically anyway, your primary means of combat is going to be close and tight end. And I mean, like, granted, now we did get a chance to see some pretty incredible speedster abilities that we've never seen before. For example, Nora used a lightning lasso, which is pretty sweet. We got a chance to see some phasing utilized in an interesting way. Impulse literally just, like, magically appeared or kind of phased out of reality to spy on everybody, which is terrifying.
Yeah, that was really neat. That's like a, I guess, like a speedster stealth kind of thing that the Godspeeds used as well, which was also interesting.
Well, and then, you know, we also get made mention of Barry talking about, you know, or telling Nora, like, hey, can you just reverse time? She's like, yeah, that'd be hilarious if I could do that. Which was, of course, the thing that led to her realizing that he was talking about, you know, the original Nora, the pre-crisis Nora. I guess she was pre-crisis, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, like, not that. Well, no, that's right. Because actually, Crisis was, you know, yes, Nora kind of wiped herself out from the timeline. But then there's also the fact that because Barry survived Crisis, he was alive for this Nora. Ergo, vis-a-vis, this is post-Crisis Nora. And that is pre-Crisis Nora. So, yeah, that tracks. So, you know, I think we got a chance to see a lot of different cool speedster abilities throughout this, but you do still need those ranged. I don't know. I think there is value in having those ranged blasters on your team.
Yeah, you got to have the ranged DPS with the melee DPS to have a balanced group.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and especially when you got somebody that powerful, you need to utilize them. You need to utilize them. So anyway, that I did not have a problem at all with Allegra's little mini arc that she had. And one of the things I actually appreciated about both hers and the Kramer versus Kramer storylines is that they were not bloated in the midst of everything that was going on. Because when you do have like the entire city trying to evacuate because an entire speedster civil war is going on, and you have speedsters from the future fighting other speedsters from the future, like, you know, this is, you know, epic end game, you know, big boss level stuff. And the side quests are, you know, not always the best use of the time, let's say. So I thought they were both handled pretty well from that standpoint, despite my jab earlier at Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yes, of course, like I said, Jay is back. He is back in the game. We're gonna theoretically see him playing a pretty significant role. We learned this episode that he and Bart have a very close relationship in the future. Any thoughts on that? It was interesting to see. Is the implication that we will see more Jay Garrick, or is it just that even though we may not see Jay Garrick, you know, beyond this crossover, we will kind of know pretty solidly that he's going to survive in the future?
I'm assuming that he's going to, because that's the way that they kind of, you know, fix the future for Bart. So I figure he's going to survive the whole thing because they're going to defeat Godspeed.
Well, I didn't get the sense that Jay dies in the present. Like, my thought is, you know, especially since he has a relationship with Bart, that he's not, you know, quote unquote, supposed to die for probably about another 20 years, right?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. He's supposed to die, you know, later on. But the thing is that I'm guessing is, you know, Godspeed's goal here is just to kill him again, to, like, you know, the same way that that Eobard killed Nora 500 times, or, yeah, you know, that same kind of thing. So he's going to go back and try to kill Jay in the past, and Barry is trying to stop Godspeed in the past from doing it in the future, but now they're going to have to stop Godspeed from doing it in the past again.
Yeah. I like that Thawne has kind of become the, what's the dude from the Harry Potter movies?
Voldemort?
Yeah, he's kind of the Voldemort of the Flash family.
He's got all these Horcruxes.
Well, not even the Well, actually, you know what? Actually, I didn't even think about it from that standpoint. Yeah, he's got the Horcruxes. We're treating him like he who shall not be named. You know, like, this, you know, he's Voldemort. He's a speedster Voldemort.
Speedster Mort.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
No, that one doesn't track.
But there is very much a "you're a wizard, Barry" from that standpoint. You can get away with that, I think.
You're a speedster, Barry.
You're a speedster, Barry. Oh, man. I was worried at the beginning of this episode. In fact, I was sitting here, I was watching the show with my wife. She's not been up to date with everything that was going on, so she was kind of asking some questions. And I was explaining it to her. I was like, yeah, I don't know if Iris is going to be here. I mean, this entire plot line is about her kids and her being pregnant and everything else. And for whatever reason, they've decided thus far that she's not that important to those particular storylines. But then fortunately, I was wrong. And she did pop up weirdly.
Yeah, the whole Iris situation, these last several episodes, feels weird to me, like really weird.
Super weird.
Nora is hinting at stuff, and Nora and Bart obviously know what's going on. They're not telling Barry for, you know, protect the timeline reasons, which, yes, never tell Barry anything.
Which, by the way, I love the fact that they are just like giddy about the fact that they're there with their dad when he's young. And it's not in like the same way that Nora was when we first saw her before, where there was kind of like this fangirling, but also this, you know, I never actually got a relationship with you. Now it's like, in the future, you tell us not to do something, but in the present, you're saying we can get away with it. You know, so it's the pitting two parents against each other, which all kids do, except it's the super time travel version of that, where you're literally pitting parent versus a younger version of your parent. I think it's awesome.
it's a real neat dynamic that they have going on there, for sure.
Absolutely, man. But before we get into the specific kind of the questionable what's going on with Iris stuff and what does it mean, Let's talk about kind of the way in which Iris and Barry kind of engage with their kids. At one point, they actually threaten the kids to lock them up in the basement.
Yeah, throw them in the pipeline like they've done so many criminals.
Yeah, they're like, you wouldn't do that. And then like look at each other, and Iris is like, we will if we have to. Which does make you wonder, did they use the pipeline, you think? Or will they use the pipeline when they've got kindergartners that aren't staying put?
I don't know how you keep your kids and everyone else around your kids safe when they have superpowers, unless it's a situation where it's like, you know, with the X-Men where your powers don't really come in until you hit puberty kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because, you know, could you imagine like a toddler like speed running into something? I mean, granted, they have speed healing, so that'd be fine. But like, you know,
They run into doesn't have speed healing, though.
Right? Or like running out into the street and causing a car accident or something. Yeah. So I figured they would either need to make a giant pipeline cell and replace their house with it, you know?
Right.
During those first several years. But I don't know. I'm just assuming that it's a thing where it's like the powers don't kick in until puberty or something like that.
You got Gideon as a babysitter too. So, you know, you got Gideon tech. It's very possible that the majority of whatever Gideon is useful for was heavily developed when having children that could literally not just run at the speed of light, but literally go back in time and like get out of problems and change things. So it's like, you know, they mess up, right? Like they stay out too late and or they ram the car into the, you know, school or whatever it is. And it's so they quickly turn back time and they get in like, Nora, why do you smell like exhaust? And is that a cut on your shoulder? And how did this, you know, oil get here or whatever? And she's like, I know, it's nothing. And then he's like, Gideon, Nora has changed the timeline 5 times this evening. You know, like.
but remember, this Nora can't turn back the timeline. So, you know, she's sitting there thinking,
if I could turn back time. The car that I stole, and I get grounded.
Oh, share TV talk. I miss you. Yeah, man. No, I think it does seem like the parenting is a little bit different this time around. And, you know, obviously we've gotten at this point a few storylines with them as parents. This is, in my opinion, the storyline that not only have we wanted to see, but I think that they have wanted to see. This is them parenting their actual children. And it's interesting too, because with Nora, with kind of pre-crisis Nora, when she shows up, she very much kind of has this like revert to childhood that you get sometimes, right? Like you get put back into scenarios where you were as a kid, and there's almost kind of this mental thing that happens where you almost kind of like demature for moments and fall back into the way that you used to be. And so you kind of get that a little bit with Nora, because she's dealing with kind of the angst that she's feeling towards her mom and the kind of the pain that she's feeling towards not having her dad and wishing that her dad could have been there when she was a kid. And man, that's just such a great character. I'm sorry. It's still one of my favorite seasons. I know that Cicada had its problems, but like, honestly, the Nora stuff really does raise that season up pretty heavily for me. Here, we're dealing with both a Nora and a Bart. Now, Bart, you know, obviously he is impulsive. He is younger, but at the same time, they're both kind of grown up. You know, I mean, like we got a college kid and an out of college kid. Like these are, you know, they're engaging with their parents. Yes, there is kind of that parent-child dynamic, but they're not really children. And Barry and Iris don't treat them as kids in the same way that maybe they did with Nora first time around.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, there was the lock you in the basement. I'm not going to try to pretend like that didn't happen. But I don't know. It almost seemed like there was less of a extreme responsibility that they felt the first time around with Nora, or even with the Speed Force babies, you know, whatever you want to call them. the forces. Maybe they're just sick of it at this point. Maybe it's like that third child you have. You know, the first one you do your best with, and then you put all the rules. Then the second one comes along, and you're just like, all right, well, now, you know, I'm a little looser on things I used to be more hardcore on because I figured this out. And then the first kid's like, well, hey, this wasn't how things were the first time around. But then the third kid comes along and you're just like, yeah, you know what? Just take care of yourself. You're fine. You're fine.
Yeah, here's a carton of cigarettes and a computer with unlimited internet access. Go at it.
Call me when you're 20. Exactly. Oh, man. I say all this with my second child who is perched right next to me. anyway, that dynamic is always very interesting to see. We got an incredible fight sequence this episode. Several different fight scenes with all the Godspeeds going after the various speedsters, the speedsters kind of coming together, the way, you know, things threw down in the church. And then, of course, we got the return of the King of Tech himself, ladies and gentlemen, Cisco Mecha Vibe on the scene. Hadn't even been gone 2 seconds and I didn't realize how much I missed him.
Yeah, I know. He was definitely their pinch hitter, I guess, in this situation. Their trump card or something like that. They did they needed him. You know, he was gone and they missed him, and he came back and they realized how much they needed him.
That's right, man. He came back strong too. Like, it was a great reentry to the character. You know, we'd heard that he'd probably be back for the season finale. And I thought the use case here was great. It was kind of like a little toss back and forth between him and Diggle. It was great to see him in full gear. I mean, even at the very tail end of this episode, we've got Barry as the Flash, we've got Frost in full Frost gear, and we've got Cisco in full Vibe gear, or Mecha Vibe gear. And they're getting ready to go, you know, throw down with the villains. Like, this is, like, moments like this are what you want to see 7 years in, and kind of these characters having reached their ultimate form. And I think it was really great. And we got so many great moments this episode. Man, before we dive into kind of the iris of it all, any other thoughts on this episode?
Man, it's just a lot of fun. Like, I know I've seen a lot of chatter on the internet about this being the best one of the season, and I think I have to agree. It really did an excellent job of kind of washing the bad. And not to say that, like, the other episodes this season weren't, like, I'm not saying they're bad.
But I'm
not saying they're like just bad, like unwatchable, like, you know, anything like that. But, you know, they didn't leave the best taste in your mouth, right? Well, this episode totally washed that bad taste out, and, you know, got me really excited for the finale and really excited to see where they're going to go with season 8. So, yeah, I'm super excited for the season finale next week, and it couldn't come any sooner.
Man, that's what we wanted. That's all we wanted, is for them to finish real strong, and it seems like that is exactly what's happening here. So there's that. But there is still something that is a little odd, off, worrisome, or otherwise. And that's going to bring us to this week's
Speedster Speculation.
Belle, as you have already made mention, Iris was kind of back, and the way in which she was gone, and then the way in which she wasn't present and felt gone, and then was storyline not there and gone, and then brought to the still force and then brought back, it feels weird.
It feels really weird. And it's just so weird. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense from a story standpoint. It doesn't make a lot of sense from, like, you know, a character and, like, filming stamp, like why, like, okay, so she was morning sick because of the pregnancy, but she wasn't pregnant,
right?
Then so she was just gone from those scenes, and then she, you know, gets taken into the still force because she's like, there's something wrong with her chrono, like her you know, time wise which we have no idea what that is. But then Nora's like, right, oh no, it's fine, everything, mom's gonna be fine. So like, well, what is the thing? Like, it seems like it's already been resolved in the future. So, like, why are we making a big deal out of it now? Did Candace have some scheduling stuff, and so they couldn't put her in episodes, and they had to shoehorn some kind of ridiculous plot reason to do that? Like, she's sick now, she's in the Speed Force or the Still Force, and now she's back and everything's fine. Like, none of this makes any sense to me. I don't know if they're going for some big reveal for it. But according to Nora, everything's fine. But the first dream that Barry had with Nora said everything's not fine. And then the second one was like, everything's fine. And now actual Nora, not dream Nora, was like, yeah, everything's fine with mom. Nothing. Like, I don't get it. Like, I have no idea what's going on with this. It just feels so weird and out of place to me. And I can't help but think it's something to do production wise that they had to shoehorn all of this in.
Yeah, that feels like it's the case. Like, it's not story, but it's something behind the scenes. Here's the thing. Because Bart was actually the one that said specifically, oh, no, it's cool, we know that she'll be fine when, or something, or, you know, she prepared us for something. Like, basically, it was an acknowledgement that something is going to happen. It's going to seem bad, but in the long run, it's not going to be as bad as we think it is, or at least as bad as the kids think it is. Now, what could that mean? I would argue Whew. All right, this is dangerous stuff because we have been wrong before in this regard, but I would argue, Bell, that we have seen something similar to this in the past in terms of kind of these weird character changes that don't seem to make a lot of sense beyond the inevitable. And what I mean by that is this happened a lot with Sisko. Like, this feels very similar to kind of like these weird turns for a character that turn into the character leaving the show.
But like this many so close together in one season?
Well, but see, think about the season, though. This was a crammed season with all the production issues and everything else. I mean, honestly, at one point, I legitimately thought we weren't even going to come back. I thought for sure The Flash was done. I didn't think we were going to get a completion of the show. I thought, you know, I was prepared for that situation to happen. And so, I got to imagine that many of the actors probably felt a lot, the same way. I have no idea where people are in their contracts or anything like that. I'm not saying this is what I want, but on the contrary, it's not at all what I want. But I'm starting to wonder if that might actually be the case. Filming The Flash has not exactly been like the best overall experience for Candace. She's had to deal with some really ridiculous fans, quote unquote fans who have just kind of made her life and online life miserable. The being kind of in this space as a whole is, kind of tiresome as, just in general. And honestly, like I said earlier, you can tell with a lot of these characters and a lot of these actors, you can see they're tired and you can kind of see they're ready to move on. So I would not be totally shocked if we are going to see at the end of this season a situation that causes Candace, or rather not Candace, but Iris, to have to live in the Still Force until the series finale. Now that's my prediction. Again, I'm not saying this is what I want. I am an Iris fan. I have always been very pro Iris. I really, I've wanted good storylines for her to follow. I feel like ever since the Mirror Master plotline, I don't know, the chemistry hasn't been there as much between her and Grant. And so, you kind of get the sense that maybe something's going on behind the scenes. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I remember seeing some information about it a while back because Grant had signed on. I think he did a 2-year contract extension for season 8 and season 9. But so it looks like Jesse L. Martin, Daniel Panabaker, and Candace Patton all have deals to return for season 8. I think all of the contracts were up at the end of season 7.
Yeah.
And so maybe they didn't know if she was going to resign or not.
Okay.
And so maybe they have like these story hooks that they could pull into to like have some kind of explanation if she doesn't come back. I don't know, but there's a lot of stuff to speculate about, so I'm not even going to really like go into it, but it is confirmed that she's going to be back.
It just seems so weird then. Okay, all right. Well, see, that I guess that's to some extent my point. Like, we saw this with Sisko. Like, we saw, like, it feels as though they're writing him off the show, and then they never wrote him off the show.
Yeah, but we saw that across, like, 3 seasons.
All the weird fact, that's exactly what I mean, though. Like, it's strange. Because it doesn't just, like, happen right before the character's gone. It's just all of a sudden, it's the exact opposite of all of a sudden. And so, I don't know, it just feels very similar to that.
Yeah.
So, obviously, she's not leaving, but at the same time, it feels very similar to what's come before.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. It's just, I think this is different in that it feels weirder to me simply because it's happened over the course of like 4 episodes as opposed to over the course of like 3 to 4 seasons with Sisko, Right. Like there's this like will he, won't he kind of thing. You're like, oh, okay, well, that story arc, huh, interesting. And then like they end up resolving in these days. And it's like, oh, there's this other plot point where like he could clearly exit the show and everything would be resolved or whatever. Oh, okay, no, they did it back. So there's this there's that like kind of wave with Sisko, and then with Iris it's like she's gone and not even a part of 2 episodes back to back where they're like, oh, she's sick, and then it's like she's gone for 90% of an episode. She has one scene where she's in the Still Force and she's just like, yeah, my chronotroms are messing up. And it just felt so bizarre and so out of place. And it's like, I mean, is she sick? Oh, no, that's not it. We can't go that route. So her chronotrons are messed up. And so she's in the Still Force.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't make any sense.
But,
I
now
don't
her chronotrons
know.
Are stable enough that she can come back. And, you know, both the kids are like, nah, mom's fine.
Okay, all right. So let's go with this in a different route, perhaps. Maybe could it be that we're setting up Speedster Iris for the next season, and that she is going to end up being a speedster? So we'll have like a full, like a literally full Flash family. Everybody in the fam's got the speeds. We thought for a minute that like she might end up being the Speed Force, and we were wrong on that.
Yeah, we were dead wrong on that. I mean, I don't know.
It feels off. I have a feeling that at some point, you know, like you can tell shows where like everything's going well behind the scenes, and then there's shows you can kind of tell something's up behind the scenes, and then there's shows like, you know, Smallville, where it's like kind of a mixed bag.
Well, there's certainly stuff going on behind the scenes, and in fact, one of them, you know, is in prison for it.
Well, two of them were in prison. Well, technically, three of them at one point were in prison. Like, you know, all for different things, but regardless, so that's that. But it does seem like at some point the E-True Hollywood story of the CW's Flash, you know, 10, 15 years now is going to come out. I do remember, I mean, like, obviously, you know, especially during kind of the height of the Me Too movement, there was some shakeup behind the scenes, and there was indication, Candace had even made indication that there was something more as it related to her, but she wasn't ready to talk about it. And honestly, I wonder if maybe that whatever that's, well, you know, I shouldn't even speculate. It's probably irresponsible to speculate, but regardless, I just know that happened. And it just seems to me that there's a lot behind the scenes of this show that unfortunately, exists for the people that work there. And also unfortunately exists to kind of, I think, create story issues and, you know, situations that don't necessarily yield the best stories. But all that said, despite kind of whatever is going on, I love the fact that she's back. She does need to be involved in this story, so I'm really glad that she is involved in this story.
Yeah.
and that she's not like off screen land and is actually part of the show. So happy. And on top of that, we got some great stuff looking forward to, man. I think we're heading in the right direction. I think we're gonna finish strong. Here's to finding out what's going on in the very, very near
future.
Yeah,
you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I hope everything is going well on set. I hope the issues that they've had are corrected. And I hope that it's a better work environment for everybody involved. Like, I really, really hope that. And, you know, because all of these kinds of things, like, you know, nobody wants to work in an environment that's hostile to them and stuff like that. And so I hope that's not the case. I hope that, you know, whatever issues they've had were resolved, and this kind of story stuff that they're doing here was because they didn't know, and it was something unrelated to anything bad, right? I, you know, because we want the best for all the people who work on this show. It just, you know, situations like this make it really difficult to speculate and kind of take the fun out of it, because it's not like, you know, there's not elements of the story that you can look at to try to like extrapolate what's going on. There's too much like real world stuff coming in there that really sound like, you know, throws a wrench in the works. And so, you know, it's harder to speculate things about like, oh, what's, because like I'm less interested in what's wrong with Iris right now on the show than I am what's wrong with Kat and Candace right now on the show.
I know. Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. And, that's a good point. That's a great way.
We're concerned that there's something going on with her, with the production. And you know, we want everybody to enjoy what they do. And so I'm hoping that this, you know, contract renewal that she has there, they've resolved the issues that she had with them, or, you know, in the event that they had issues with her, you know, I don't know the whole thing. I'm not here to speculate on that, but
as someone who was born in Mississippi and grew up in Texas, I feel like we're going to be team Candace one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Candace was born in Mississippi too. So.
That's what I'm saying. And she grew up in Texas. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's,
I mean, unless she like killed somebody on set, then, you know.
Well, it depends on who it was, you know. I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, what did happen to Ralph's face? Anyway, okay.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, man. Let's from there, let's jump into some listener feedback.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow,
red and yellow. All right, man, we got an email in from Josh. What did Josh have to say?
Hey, guys, just listened to the POW recap episode. I've been all in on the Arrowverse shows until recently and have always been into the Diggle / Green Lantern story. I pretty much dropped all the other shows lately except Superman, Supergirl, and Flash, so I haven't followed the recent Diggle arc. I do remember an episode of the Arrow, though, where his stepdad, I think he was referred to as the General, his last name was Stewart. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see him as a Green Lantern unless that's what he'll play on the Lantern Corps show. My reason for that belief is that at the end of the Snyder Cut, it was supposed to be a Green Lantern instead of the Martian Manhunter, but WB wouldn't approve it because of the upcoming show. So if they aren't going to allow a short clip on that film, I find it hard to believe that they'll do it for any of the CW shows. I guess the one exception could be if they're going to make the Lantern show part of the Arrowverse, which would be odd after we just combined them all onto one Earth. They did have that Lantern clip in Crisis, so who knows? Anyway, that's all. Just felt like I had to reach out. Thanks for keeping me going this season. It's definitely been rough. Josh, you're absolutely right. It has been rough, and I'm glad we're helping you stick with it. It's this most recent episode on this podcast that we're talking about definitely, you know, fanned the flames and rekindled my excitement again for this show. So I hope it did the same for you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think this is really good observations here. I do think that it'll be interesting once the Arrowverse comes to a close, which my guess will be will happen within the next 5 years, if I just, you know, just throwing it out there. I think it'll be worth going back and kind of looking at what was the Arrowverse, what was the Crisis, how was it handled, and kind of talk, like, I think an autopsy of the good, the bad, and the ugly will really kind of provide maybe a guidance for whatever the future of DC TV looks like. It'll definitely be kind of a moment. I remember at the end of Justice League Unlimited, the kind of the closing of what was then the Bruce Timm kind of DC universe, animated universe. There was a sadness there because that was such a great connected universe. And it was a connected universe before that was even a thing. In many respects, DC beat Marvel to the punch. Now you could argue that Marvel did the same thing with Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends, but regardless, I'm just saying that DC animated universe was absolutely incredible. And when it came to a close, it's really interesting to go back and look at all the different kind of pieces that connected and the ways they connected, where they connected correctly, and where maybe there was some missteps along the way, which definitely exists there. So, yeah, but I will say this too, like in terms of like non-connected Arrow shows, I started watching Titans. It was a little rough at first just because what's the right way to say it? It's jarring. It's jarring how different it is. But once you kind of get like acclimated to it, it's really good. Like it is really good.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it. That and Doom Patrol, you know, there's a bunch of DC properties out there that I hear are really good. The thing that's really interesting to me though is you know, with Zack Snyder's Justice League, with them not wanting to include a Green Lantern instead of a Martian Manhunter, you would think with them including Ezra Miller on The Flash and like straight up admitting, yes, there is a multiverse in our shows, that they would learn that lesson and like be more lenient about that stuff to get people excited for other properties. You know, like I don't understand it. You know, the biggest hype thing in the entire world as far as DC television and film is concerned was Ezra Miller showing up.
It was huge.
CW's Flash. It was huge. It was absolutely huge.
It was bigger than Crisis. I mean, like, that was the biggest moment in all of Crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, it was nuts. And you would think that
he would choke somebody out, but he didn't. He didn't. And that was newsworthy as well. Sorry.
How did I know you would go there? How did I know you would go there?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, the point being here is that, like, I don't understand why Warner Brothers is being so restrictive with their properties when they've confirmed there's a multiverse. They've languished in that multiverse and they live in it and they don't want to, you know.
And now there's a Green Lantern embargo? Like, that's surprising to me. And that's unfortunate. The Green Lantern embargo. Meanwhile, freaking Loki is over here I don't want to spoil Loki.
I don't want to say that either. Yeah. I mean, there's some. I hadn't seen the most recent episode, so don't you dare say a word.
Well, I mean, that's not too spoilery to just point out the fact. I think anybody who's watching that show knows, like, what's going on these DC or these Marvel, you know, Disney Plus shows has massive implications for the movie, like, series. Like, this is the first time, you know, that you really feel that deep connection between, you know, quote unquote television and quote unquote movies.
Yeah. For once, finally, hashtag it's all connected actually means something.
Right. You can get Alligator Loki and Loki. You can get two Green Lanterns. Anyway. Yeah. All right, Josh, great email. Thanks so much for that. And thanks for everybody else. Hey, let us know your thoughts. If you have, I can't believe I'm going to ask for this. If you got the juice, if you got the gossip, if you got the tea on what's going on behind the scenes, I typically don't want to know, but at this point it's impacting the show. I want to know. So send it in. We won't name names. Okay. We won't name names. We'll call you, we won't even call you anything because we won't name names.
We'll call you Mr. Nobody.
Or
because
Mrs.
on Flash, family is stronger than anything. That was a Fast and the Furious reference. Sorry. I recently watched all the movies because I'm going to go see Fast 9. And so for some reason, like, it's corrupted my brain. And now
it's my brother. He's showing up. He's going to try to kill us. I got the family.
How are they going to fight John Cena because they can't even see him?
I am great.
Wait, what?
John Cena, that's his thing. You know, you can't see me.
No, that was what's his face's thing?
No, that's John Cena.
Rock. Was Drax. That was Drax's thing, is you can't see him.
No, John Cena, the wrestler.
The movie star with the weird arms, yeah. And the face, he does have a face.
He does have a face. He does have arms. Whether or not they're weird, I mean, they're big and muscular. I don't know if that's weird to you, but yeah, John Cena, the WWE superstar. I'm legally required to call him.
His arms don't look weird to you. Like, his body doesn't look kind of like a weird. You know what? I have a feeling
really
he could break me in half. Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah, absolutely,
really
he
commenting.
Could.
Yeah.
But that was his thing. It's like, you can't see me. Like, he waves his hands in front of his face. It's like, you can't see me.
That's Drax the Destroyer.
No, Drax the Destroyer is, I'm moving so slowly, you can't see me.
I didn't watch wrestling.
Dave Bautista is also a wrestler. Yeah. So wrestlers and not being able to see each other, and also being movie stars. There's a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram.
Apparently. Y'all, follow us on Twitter at Flash TV Talk. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell.
And if 240 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides the music for our show. You can listen to the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/CharlieBach.
Shout out to the good folks at TVTalk.fm for some great TV talking and podcast. And that is going to do it for us for this week. But until next time, we'll be back in a flash.
And see ya.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.